Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up! Captain, we are back on the Perseverance of Bright Horizons for another episode of the Captain and Cook Pod. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, obviously, you know, as we'll reflect, we've both had quite a fun weekend coming back from. And again, later on, people will hear that I'm ready to be absolutely knackered. So I'm just trying to keep my energy up today. Yeah, but how have you been? Obviously, you know, we've done challenges. They're out there. People saw, yeah, some hairstyle. I don't know who did it for you, but it was okay. But yeah, how have you been? How do you find the challenge? Did you leave the house? The main thing.
I didn't, only because, again, it was one of those things where I thought, oh, I'll do it with Nora, like, we'll do it. And then Monday and Tuesday would have been the ideal day because she's home all day. But I did on a day where she'd gone to nursery, so it was just in the evening before she went to bed. So I didn't, but I think I should just do it one day anyway. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This is an ongoing challenge. And if you've changed your hair dramatically recently, let us see it. Yeah. We'd love to see it. And for you, rereading Mouse is a big one for me, just in terms of that, you know, Art Spiegelman trying to interpret his father's journey. But yeah, how did you find the reread?
I enjoyed it. I forgot how easy graphic novels are to read and just how much nicer they are. And really just, I read more into the sort of animals which he gave different people.
Yeah.
So you had the frog for the Frenchman, you had the cats and mice, and that was really interesting. But also just to, I thought, oh, how much of this is actually true? How much of it is? And it is basically based on the history of his dad. He's just changed the name and things like that. And just to dive into it, I took it when I went up the little TA for an hour and started reading it and ended up in conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Just talking about it, talking about the Holocaust, talking about just the way he communicates things. And yeah, I'll recommend it to everyone. I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads.
Did you?
It must be good. Yeah.
Must be good. And yeah. I think it's also that flicking between, and his father's a very, I suppose we might look and go, difficult character to get along with, you know, for Art. But because of the way it flips back to his experiences, you kind of understand it as well, don't you? But you know, you mentioned as well, you know, we've been gigging, haven't we?
Have.
Separately, because we both had these pre-booked in. But yeah, you've been to Slam Dunk, not Space Jam, not any basketball,
not
NBA.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Yeah, so, I mean, I went to Slam Dunk, and I think what's the best way of sharing how I felt about it? But I actually, as I got back to the hotel room, recorded an audio clip to feed back.
Let's have a listen.
Okay, so it's the morning after Slam Dunk Festival, and I must say I'm still bouncing from it. It was so nice to see live music, but also just how conscious people were about not getting too close to other people and just, yeah, keeping distance. But also just, I forgot how nice it is just to bump into and just talk to random people who share the same interests, same likes. I met a couple of guys, met a guy called Scottish guy who told me his name was Jock. And yeah, I had like quite a good chat with him about the podcast and things. But for me, the highlight was being able to see Capdown, a band I've waited years and years to see. They've just started their comeback. Also the secret special guest, McFly, which you wouldn't have thought a punk festival, how excited people got being able to see McFly. But yeah, just so refreshing to be able to, as I said, see live music, but also see it outside. Just good nature, good fun, and yeah, I can't wait for the next one for me, which I think is Offspring in a couple of months.
Brill. Well, it's nice to have that in-the-moment reflection, I think, as well. Definitely comes across that absence and then getting back into these kind of things, you know, can definitely... You know, I've been seeing some people go to a couple of gigs recently. I've spoken to a couple of the girls in the Nook who had been to Reading, you know, and they were saying it's different to any other live music experience they've had. Because for many, it's their first one back, isn't it? And that would have been the same for Slam Dunk, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Me, I went off to Catfish and the Bottlemen. And in true, you mentioned about recording in the moment reaction. So here's my 10 pence worth on Catfish and the Bottlemen.
So it's the morning after Catfish and the Bottlemen. Went to see them in Singleton Park in Swansea. So you can hear my voice. A great night was had. A little bit of a groggy head this morning, but a fantastic event. You know, first concert I've been to in around 2 years. Just seeing thousands of people all stood together. The weather was perfect as well, which helped, you know, an outdoor event. People just smiling, singing along. Just we got chatting to people on the way around about the band, you know, about how excited we were to see them. We also arrived halfway through Feeder. Forgot how good Feeder were, as well as a band. And then You Me at Six were on just before Catfish and the Bottom were fantastic as well. Just great to be there. Lots of energy. People being respectful, I think, you know, a lot of people's first gigs. So, you know, just giving people the space. But we stood up on the banks. We could look down over everyone. Just a sea of people singing, arms in the air. You know, absolutely fantastic event. So, unfortunately, Catfish and the Bottlemen are breaking up after this tour, which is a real shame. The three albums are fantastic. Hopefully that's not a permanent decision they've made, but, you know, hey-ho, got to see them, which was fantastic. I said fantastic a lot, didn't I? Bloody hell. But anyway, yeah, great gig, good to be back, and there's more coming in the next few months, which I'm excited about.
So there you go. Very similar experience, I think, in terms of just a different energy, you know, people were bringing. I think people are almost partying like it's potentially the last time, isn't it, as well. So, yeah, great to get back out there, man.
Yeah, and just get out and about and just see people enjoying themselves again. Definitely. As well. And just that laughter, the smile, the movement. But also, and interestingly, I listened back to a few pods and I realised when we did our last country, I think it was our 39th. Yes. And I said that our 40th would be where we're going on tour. So where else would we go than as far away as possible? And we're actually heading to New Zealand on tour. So brace yourselves, New Zealand. We are on our way.
You were saying that you were waiting for this one, weren't you?
Yeah.
Because it is... is it your favourite place, would you say?
Yeah.
High up there.
Yeah,
definitely high up there. You've been and you talk about it quite often. I think it left its mark, didn't it, on you? But you told me this one. I didn't even have to Google, did I?
Nope.
You told me. So, kia ora to all of our friends in New Zealand. We're delighted. And I check the analytics quite regularly. And I text you and you were chuffed, weren't you?
Yeah, right?
When I was very chuffed. New Zealand finally decided to join us. Australia got in there early, didn't they?
They were quite sudden. Quite soon, even. Not sudden. Just bang, there's Australia. Whoa.
But New Zealand, the perseverance of Bright Horizons, is on its way.
And we'll see you real soon. Okay, so it's time to welcome aboard something different this time, I must say. And I'm noticing, just looking across the table, you seem to be frowning. You seem to just be, you know, you're not smiling, you're frowning. And I guess I really should just ask you, why so serious? As we welcome aboard, let's see if I can get this, Cesar Romero, Mark Hamill, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, and most recently, Joaquin Phoenix. As, it's time to introduce the Joker onto the ship. So this could cause a bit of chaos.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully if he goes down the Dark Knight route, this ship might be in a bit of trouble. We gotta hope that we got the right people on the, you know, from the Staten Island ferry on board who can help us out with that. But yeah, it's one, interestingly, I know we refer back to having our pub rant that's like hidden away, but we talk about him. We talk about the Joker, the character. Easily my favourite character and role that I've seen. If there was a dream role that I'd play, I'd 100% play the Joker. Just how deep you can go into it, the different ways, you know, and we'll reflect, the different ways each person has as well.
Yes.
Completely different characters and things like that. But yeah, it's just, let's go. Let's bring him aboard. Let's see what mischief and mess we end up in now.
Already thinking like him and Keith Flint would be quite okay, wouldn't they? Like, would they be enemies? Would they work together? I don't know. But
yeah. And Keith Moon as well. Chuck him in there.
Keith Moon, I think, well, you gave me the Killing Joke, didn't you? And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, this the DC comic by Alan Moore and Brian Boland, and it was brilliant because you handed it to me just almost like as a prep, wasn't it, for this, because you'd found out I hadn't read through it. And again, I'd given you Mouse, hadn't I, to read. So we were both reading sort of graphic novels or comics, should we say. And I just found that a really worthwhile thing to do this week, because I've seen Joker, I've seen The Dark Knight, and the, you know, the Batman film with Jack Nicholson and all of that. But I just think I love the way it flicked back and forward to his past and then to the criminal future. And like you said, there's loads of different ways that the Joker becomes the way he does, and it's been portrayed differently. In obviously the comic there, it's fall into a vat of acid, isn't it, that changes his complexion. In some of the films then, it's you know, Keith Ledger, I'm thinking of The Dark Knight, cut face from his father. Joaquin Phoenix most recently is just trying to be a comedian and make a living for himself to look after his mother, so it's just paint on his face. But like you said, there are so many different ways you can go with the character. And straight away, so if you haven't got The Killing Joke and you're a fan of the Joker, get online and buy it. If you can get it from a good bookshop, do it. But you can get it from bad bookshops too, as we've always said. But yeah, just, I know this is a big one for you. And like I said, in our pub chat, we were both keen fans. But I think for you, it's the psychology behind it, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And from that I've picked a quote from the latest Joker film. And the quote is, "Inside a person you know, there is a person you don't know." And naturally, those of you who started to create a drinking game about things like that, I'm going to mention a mask, so have a sip of whatever you're drinking, because it is all about hiding behind the mask. But I also want to touch on the joys of Mr. Carl Jung, and just his jester archetype. And what I'm going to do is, I haven't told you this bit, but I'm just going to read his description of what the jester is and just see what you think. So, the trickster is well known as the jester archetype and is a powerful character with sheer intelligence and brilliance. He manipulates and disobeys the system and authority. The exhibition of his unconventional behavior acts as a facade for his true inner intentions.
This you touched on the trickster, I think, previously, but not that description in a previous pod. And I think it just does summarize the Joker's character. And I think there are so many things we could go into, and we'll probably cover so much in this, but it's almost like he stands up as the antithesis to, like, order, doesn't he? So, you know, he can manipulate situations, and because he's got nothing to lose, that, or, you know, that's how it's always portrayed, that's when it's dangerous, isn't it? Because it doesn't really matter to him what happens to you. I think in The Killing Joke, there's a bit in there where he says, "Why would I kill you? It's you know, it's not funny to me," or something like that, isn't it? There's a bit in there where he says, you know, and I think there's a bit I've seen in the past on Gotham where the Joker character on there says, you know, something along those lines as well about, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead. You know, at the moment, you're useful to me. And that's manipulation, isn't it? Because how can you manipulate someone who's dead if they're useful to the Joker? He uses them. And that's that thing with the Batman and Joker relationship as well, isn't it? That they kind of need each other. And in the in the comic, it's almost like he's trying to have a conversation with the Joker, isn't he, about why are we fighting? I think the thing in there is Batman wants to try and get to know what's behind the Joker. But it's obvious when you go into it, he had to pull this mask on. You know, we won't give too much away because people might want to read it. But he's basically pulled this mask on as a protection because he's been hurt so much in his life. But he's also trying to get things back on society. So yeah, that's like that trickster. I like that word as well, because that's totally what he does, isn't it, effectively. But yeah, your thoughts on that, mate? You've probably read that so many times now.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting what you said about Batman and Joker need each other. I mean, if you read technically the origin story or watch the most latest film, without the Joker, you wouldn't have had Batman.
No.
I don't want to go too much into that in case people haven't seen the film or read the book and things, but actually the actions of the Joker directly lead to Batman.
Yes.
And to Batman coming in. You know, he met Batman. Well, Bruce Wayne at that point, spoiler. Bruce Wayne is Batman, not me. But he met Batman. He interacted with Batman as a child in one of the, you know, in Joker the film. And it's just interesting how much they do play off each other completely. But also, I don't know, there's part of me which really has compassion for the Joker.
Yeah.
especially, I think this latest one is one of my favourite films, yeah. Just by the way, because, you know, I'm a nerd for psychology and the way they do it. But the fact that in that film, he has a go at drunken idiots who are trying to basically molest a woman.
Yes.
And he's the person, okay, maybe he took it a little bit too far, but he stepped in. He said, no, this isn't right.
Yeah.
No, I need to stop this. And there is very much that political aspect of the Joker, not liking people taunting others, partly because he thinks it's his role.
Yeah.
And just also just the rawness of having to look after his mother.
Yeah.
And just what he went through with that and the impact. You know, and we talk a lot about parents. So with Heath Ledger's, it was the father. With Joaquin Phoenix's, it was the mother. And just that role those parents play, whether it's reliance. So actually, because, and you get it sometimes, because his mother was relying so much on him, she became a burden, and probably there was hatred that way, which is a different way of hatred for when someone physically attacks and assaults you.
Yeah.
But it's both kind of comes from the same place, you know, yeah. That anger and that frustration.
It's like emotional, physical, isn't it? And, you know, what that can leave on someone. And I think, like, when I was watching it, it's more the Joker and Batman sort of story, and Joker in particular, it's more than just them as characters, isn't it? It's opposites. So where there's light, there'll be dark. Do you mean where there's law and order, there'll be disorder? You know what I mean? And I think that's what he stands up for. But he also reflects, I think, all of the stuff that you say people do keep hidden inside their four walls or inside themselves, those hidden fantasies or the vulgarities of the human race. And he just basically throws it in your face, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's anarchy. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, well, what happens if, you know, tomorrow you wake up and, like, Purge style, people stop following the law?
The law, yeah.
You know, I mean, you remember this pandemic that we've just all been through and you know, not doubting what a terrible experience it's been. But it just shows how quickly people go to comply, don't they?
You
know, you're told a set of rules and you by a higher authority and you follow them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it happened in Dark Knight where someone was about to reveal who Batman was and Joker came on and said, actually, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Everyone, time to get this guy. Here's, you know, there's a reward. And all of a sudden you just see everyone's like, right, okay, let's do this, and just follows with it. I'd be really intrigued to see the Joker film or a film with the Joker in and social media and to see the impact actually that someone like that, I mean, we see the impact someone like that, someone who can be that dangerous on social media, can have in just leading people along in just, I don't know, like, again, the end of the other Joker one, the fact of what he did on the TV show led to just a complete riot, and he was like held up and was like a sort of god sort of thing. So he got that power. He just brings it out of people, and that's essentially going back to Jung and the archetype. Everyone's got a bit of Joker in them, and it's the whole, okay, well, what is your Joker? Is your, you know, people talk about dark humor and stuff, but actually, is your Joker your trickster? Does he relish in sort of the really dark, horrible sort of stuff, or does he relish in just being a bit of a prankster?
Definitely.
And that's where I get, you know, maybe Jack Nicholson comes in, you know, more the prankster, sort of lighthearted, I guess,
definitely,
style person.
Well, he turned it a bit, because I think most people were used to Cesar Romero, who was definitely more used to playing it more as a joker, you know, more that funny style of it back in sort of the 60s or 70s, wherever it was. Jack Nicholson, I think, then was in between. So Jack Nicholson naturally can play a dark character, can't he? He's just got that look on his face that worked perfectly for the Joker. And that was Tim Burton's film. So obviously we got Tim Burton's Twisted Mind, you know, and he did, I thought he did Gotham really well for the time. I really enjoy that film, actually. And you're absolutely right. You know, he in that film is more relishing the pranks that he's playing on the people around him. And Jack Nicholson, interestingly, I was just doing some research for the pod and looking back at Heath Ledger, which we'll talk about in a minute, but after Heath Ledger died, apparently, and I know people threw a lot of stuff around Batman, but we'll come on to Heath Ledger in a second. But apparently Jack Nicholson, when he was asked, said, I warned him, you know, in terms of the preparation for that role. Because it's just what you just said. Everyone's got that trickster inside of them. So in order for an actor to play it, they've got to go and explore that side of them, haven't they? And they've got to try and bring it out. Because I think we all see riots or we see things that we're not happy with and telling. We all have that fantasy about, can you imagine like being there and smashing a shop window, do you know what I mean? Or putting a mask on and going out and causing a bit of havoc. And obviously these actors, to portray that, they have to go there. It's not just you flick a switch and I'm Joker, do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it takes preparation. So I thought then with Heath Ledger's, and I think it's probably worth diving in a bit, he spent a month in a hotel room, didn't he? Basically, just trying to, he wanted to do it different. He wanted to take it to a different place. But he basically isolated himself for a month, and he was already a struggling insomniac anyway. But I just think, you know, you talk about, you know, through therapy that you have to sometimes unravel a mask for people, don't you? But that just process of him putting that on and becoming that character. And you said earlier, you've kind of, if you could play a role, you'd like that. Yeah. But what did you think of his process, you know, in terms of getting ready for the role?
Yeah, I mean, it is like you said, it's going dark, going deep. But it's, what support did he have around him as well? You know, who was there, who was recognising, well, hold on, we need to really be quite careful with this. And interestingly, something here that Christopher Nolan has said is that actually Heath Ledger liked to be unpredictable on the set as well.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell Christopher Nolan everything he was going to do, which is quite dangerous, but also makes reactions quite raw. Yeah. I know we mentioned the bit where there was a malfunction, you know, on set when he was trying to blow up the hospital and then it suddenly went off, and that was authentic.
Yes.
So what you actually saw there was how into that character he was at that moment, that just, you know, it was a fault. People might have said, oh, cut, but actually he just kept going with it. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, this is really going off script and really going somewhere. But also, I think just reflecting on my own experience of, so when I went to see Joker, I went to see it on my own because I wanted to see it on my own. And I was very aware when I left that there was something different. It was like I got in the car and I was just laughing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? And it is really, you know, I became aware of, oh shit, this is really having an impact on me psychologically, which is kind of why I loved the film, because it really took me there. It took me to an area which I've always wanted to explore a lot more, sort of the dark side of my trickster, but I haven't really done a lot of. But I think we should really, touch on Heath Ledger, I think, and just touch on what happened, you know, and the impact, you know, and the fact that actually January 22nd, 2008, age 28, he died of an overdose. You know, it was a cocktail prescription pills. You know, he was, and as things are said, he was at the pinnacle of his career.
Yeah.
You know, you've had Brokeback Mountain, you know, obviously Night's Tale was a bit longer ago. You had The Dark Knight. He was in the middle of film. Was it Mr. Magoo's?
No, it's The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
That was it.
Which is a Terry Gilliam film, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you know, it was documented about his insomnia. And actually, if you read quotes, because I think they put a film out to some of his family about this after he died, that actually they thought he was in a bad place with Joker. I think for a lot of people, it filled their fantasies, I think, that he died because he'd taken on the Joker role. But obviously, he turned up at the Imaginarium Dr. Parnassus. He was halfway through filming it. And for anyone wanting to watch a film, it's quite trippy, because obviously they could only record half of it with him, but they completed the film and they brought in people like Colin Farrell and Jude Law to play his character when he went into this Imaginarium. It was quite clever, really, how they did it. And probably a nice homage to him as well, that they did get to finish it. But I think just that whole, you know, he overdosed on his sleeping tablets, wasn't it, as far as I'm aware. I've never struggled with insomnia, but I'm assuming, like, you know, from what I've read about it, it's probably really tough to remember what part of the day you're in. Do you know what I mean? And if he was, using sleeping tablets to try and rest, you know, I can imagine for someone like that, it might be quite tough to know, when did I take my last lot of pills, what time is it, you know, have I slept, you know, and things like that. It's a tragic end to someone so talented, who probably, like you just said, talking about pinnacle of career, was about to get the biggest offers, because he just nailed it with The Joker, probably put out the best film that we'd seen in that 10-year period. It's a shame, and it seems like something, we don't know if he meant it, we don't know his frame of mind when it happened, but It's a sad ending, mate, isn't it? It's a sad ending. Yeah,
it is interesting you talked about insomnia. I mean, it kind of leads on, and we'll talk a bit later about the running challenge I'm about to start tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that I will be... I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be having maximum 3 hours sleep if I can in between, and then having to get up and do more exercise, sort things out, do meetings and stuff. And I'm really intrigued, but obviously I know I've got a lot of support around me for that.
Yeah, and you will get pulled through. You'll get a lot of messages when you. Yeah. You'll have your wife there, and
and sort of just holding me accountable. But yeah, that's the one thing for me psychologically, and I'll feedback on here just sort of what the impact is.
And I think it'd be good to like record some notes while along the way, not a video diary, maybe like a vocal diary, something like that, because I think people would be really interested. It's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. It's an unnatural rhythm for a human to be doing that as well, isn't it? Because you're breaking up your rest times and things. But yeah, I think, you know, we will touch on that, because again, you're about to embark, aren't you? But just on that bit back with Heath Ledger, I was saying to you, and we were talking about the month he took to prepare in his hotel room, and Christopher Nolan, the director of the film, had given him some things that he wanted him to look at in terms of prepping for the role. We talked about The Killing Joke, we've already mentioned that, and people can read that if they want to. But I went down a bit of a Francis Bacon, you know, sort of rabbit hole, because basically Christopher Nolan asked, had asked Heath Ledger to look at some of his artwork. And I texted you earlier, didn't I? Just before I say some of the quotes from Francis Bacon, talk a little bit about it, I won't take too long on it. What did you think of the first few images you saw when you typed it in your search engine there?
It was, well, the first word that came to my head was deformity.
Yeah.
And actually, people wearing their deformity on the outside.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, having mentioned about the mask and stuff. But then the pictures I saw came alongside Heath Ledger's Joker. And actually, it is, if you look at it, it's him embracing his deformity.
Yeah.
His, you know, well, it's Chelsea smile, isn't it, essentially, what he's got. And actually making it into a full Chelsea smile, and that... Yeah, just the people I'm looking at it now, and it's almost, they look normal behind it. Like there's no, they don't look like criminals or, you know, it's just like everyday Joe Blogg style people, but with a deformity painted over them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so interesting you say that, because that's exactly the kind of way you described it.
Mm.
And I think it's in the New York Times obituary about him where they say, it's almost that what you just said. Even though it's deformed face or the body slightly deformed or whatever, it actually captures that person at that time. And I'm just going to read some of these quotes, right? Because I said to you that Francis Bacon, who has read about him, could have been the Joker, right, if he wanted to. Now, he did a lot of his artwork isolated in a flat in London, right? And he described that, "I believe in deeply ordered chaos." Now, that could have been a quote from the film, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So... one of the other ones here, painting unlocks all kind of valves of sensations within me, which returns me to life more violently. I wanted to paint the scream more than the horror. And we nearly always live through screens. When people say my work looks violent, perhaps I have from time to time been able to clear away one or two of the veils or screens. And that fitted so well. I mean, I'm assuming Christopher Nolan... had obviously studied Francis Bacon's work, do you know what I mean, and knows a lot more about him. In my very limited research this week, I was straight away like, is Francis Bacon the Joker? But I didn't really know what I was thinking about that. I just thought it was a good way, if you want another dimension of looking at Heath Ledger or the Joker's character, you can quickly Google Francis Bacon famous paintings, artwork, whatever, and just have a quick scroll through in it, because it is interesting, isn't it, his approach to surrealism and things like that. But yeah, just an interesting side note. I suppose moving through, Joaquin Phoenix has played the latest Joker. We're not going to plot, you know, reveal, because I'm sure there's people still getting around to it. But I think just his prep for the role as well, you know, it's low budget, this film, in comparison to Dark Knight, isn't it? And that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
Isn't it? He wanted it to be a character study, which I think is why you were probably, as much as you love The Dark Knight, I think it was just that was the interest for you.
Yeah, this was massively about the psychological build-up / breakdown of someone, leading to them taking that mindset and becoming the Joker. And it was just, I use the word raw, it was just so raw, just seeing him just on a public bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, the narrative is that he's got... a condition where he just bursts out laughing, yeah. And it's always at uncomfortable times, and it's just that you can see the I don't know how he does it. Like we used to do like a drama exercise where you had to look happy and sad at the same time, but he does it. He like his eyes are really hollow, but his laughter is just there, and it's really just it's a great performance for me. You know, it really, and you can't compare the two. You can't say one is better than the other. I think they're both absolutely outstanding in playing the same role in a different way.
And Phoenix specifically said, "I was going away from that," didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, although you probably see some crossovers, there is no doubt that like he did that role proud. I think you're right. Like I think back to when he's in The Gladiator.
Mm.
You've seen her as well, and you've mentioned her. I still haven't got around to watching that film yet, but I will. But he plays that person who's on the edge, like so well. I think during Gladiator, he's just got that look in his eye that he can just control. And you know, give actors a lot of credit. People like him, what he put his body through to get into the Joker role as well. The scenes where he's got his top off and he's dancing, isn't he, around his mum's apartment or whatever, and you can see every rib cage, can't you? You can see his back.
Reminds me of Is it Christian Bale did that, didn't he? For The Machinist. Yeah. And then he did Didn't he do Batman like straight after?
Yeah, he's ripped, wasn't he? Yeah. In Batman. Mm. And that's an interesting link as well, isn't it, with him playing that alongside Heath Ledger. But yeah, I just think it is such a good film. And I see what you mean about walking away from the cinema and laughing, because there's bits where he's laughing in awkward moments. It almost starts out the side of his mouth, doesn't it? And then it full body guttural laughing.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable that you either want to laugh, run, you know. I was at the screen sometimes with the side of my eyes, you know what I mean? So I was like, but that's just good acting, isn't it? That's just good acting to pull you into that moment. Yeah. So if anyone hasn't seen it, like, make it that's our homework, is it?
Yeah, that's everyone's challenge for everyone is watch it. But I also want to touch on Jared Leto. I've just found, you know, a quote, and obviously all the links are in, you know, this goes through the impact jokes had on each person playing them. And so just a quote about how he was on set, and it was he remained in character for most of the shoot, spending most of his time alone. He even went so far as to send a rat to Margot Robbie, who was playing Harley Quinn, and a dead pig to the rest of the cast, as well as other, let's say, interesting gifts. So again, it's going into, I mean, he went more into the mind of a criminal clown. and that, yeah, he's openly said he found it very, very challenging. But the one which seems to be synonymous mainly, like, with the Joker is the white face and the green hair.
Yeah.
You know, and that part. And if you see someone dressed up like that, you kind of know who they are.
Yeah, definitely. It's like an instantly, like, striking image, isn't it? And I think, just from what you were just talking about, just took me over to something, a little bit of a segue, like we used to do with Libby. But Jim Carrey, I think I mentioned this on a previous pod, he played his idol, Andy Kaufman, in a film called Man on the Moon. And there's a documentary about it called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. I think it's on Netflix. But I'm just thinking about method acting. He basically lived the role off stage, where to the point the directors and the other actors in the film, like, he really annoyed them.
Yeah.
Because he was just acting like this person all the time. And it just made me think what you were saying, sending rats to people's rooms, scaring people, because they don't want to drop out of the character. Maybe as well, Nate, going back to what you said earlier, they're having a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
Because when you put a mask on or become a character, and you talk about this in your therapy all the time, you're not you. So it's like, whatever I do now is almost like a free hit, almost, isn't it? And that's interesting, isn't it? That can give you that confidence just to go off and think, well, I'm not Aaron now, I'm someone else.
I'm this
you
character. I mean? Yeah, but also another interesting link of, obviously, Jim Carrey played the Riddler.
He did, yeah.
So, you know, Batman's Batman
forever.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Batman forever.
He is everywhere,
But I think it was as we come to the end, I suppose, but I was just reading an article. I came across this today. But Joker masks being used as political protest symbols. And there's images from people in, like, Chile, Beirut, Hong Kong. Remember the big thing kicked off in Hong Kong, didn't it, in about a year or so ago? But they reference, like, because the film The Joker had just come out, and it talks about the bit that you said, standing on top of the car, and he's finally got that recognition he wants, but he's got it from sending the world into chaos. Again, it's instantly recognisable. But I think it's also the fact that what they say is a fairly blunt representation of failures in sort of capitalism. mm-hmm. and its disastrous consequences as well. So I thought that was interesting. I'll put the link in for people to read there, but I didn't, you know, I just thought it's like, you know, again, people putting that mask on. If you look out at a sea of thousands of people reading this, looking the same, you know what I mean? That's quite frightening. And that's quite what he does in films, jokingly. He gets his cronies on side, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? And ties them in as well. But yeah, just interesting that being used in real life. And I'll put the article in for people. It's on wired.co.uk and you can have a little read through and see some photos and stuff, but it's quite striking. And then the other thing is, I suppose, from the Joker that struck with me after you gave me the killing joke, was what the Joker says in there around, we're all one bad day from becoming him. And I just thought that was very interesting. That struck a chord with me. But any closing thoughts from you?
And well, I mean, part of it's just a reminder of the quote we brought, is that inside a person you know, there's a person you don't know. But also, leaving almost the final bit. So again, I've put the link in. There's this Death of a Movie Star podcast, and they did Heath Ledger. They also did River Phoenix. So, you know, there's a little link there. But just to finish, I think, just on what Joaquin Phoenix said, when he was accepting an award for Joker, and he simply said, I'm standing here on the shoulders of my favourite actor, Heath Ledger. Okay, so a bit different. You know, I think we reflected on our intro, we tend to mention sort of art, literature and music, so we thought we'd bring in film.
Yeah,
I think we say film as well, but just a different character and a bit of art. So just a different way. So let us know what you're thinking, if there's other roles or maybe any books or something that you think would be quite good for us to dive into. But for now, I believe it's time for a bit of a game.
It is. You love a quiz, don't you?
I do love a quiz.
You do love a quiz. So I was sat thinking this week that we've had a lot of guests, haven't we, on our ship, and we've covered a lot of people. So I thought I would do some questions. I've got 10 questions here, okay. And the answers or questions are about previous people mm-hmm. we've had on the pod. So well, let's see what your memory is like. Because I do think that some of these things as well, we have talked about on the pods. I'm expecting big things here, all right?
I'm going to aim for 3.
3 and above, you're happy, are you? Yeah. Okay, right. I think you'll do better than that. So which of our previous guests dropped out of high school to become a drummer for the band Scream?
Keith Moon.
No, it's Dave Grohl. Which of our previous guests' first tattoo was of Betty Boop?
Oh, man. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse.
Yes, she's off and running. Okay, you get this. Which previous guest helped Eminem, who was obviously another previous guest of ours, try and kick his addiction to prescription drugs?
Is that the Joker?
Yeah,
Elton John.
It is Elton John. Probably a bit of a joker when he wants to be.
Probably.
Okay, quote. This is a quote, but who's it from? Birds scream at the top of their lungs in horrified, hellish rage every morning at daybreak to warn us all of the truth. But sadly, we don't speak, bird.
Let's go Joy Division.
No, it was Kurt Cobain.
Oh, okay.
Okay, before Farouk Bulsara became Freddie Mercury, he used to keep a photograph of which rock icon on his bedroom mirror? I'll give you multiple choice. So you've got John Lennon, Bob Dylan, or Jimi Hendrix?
Oh. John Lennon.
I went Lennon.
Okay.
But it was Hendrix. I was quite surprised at that for Freddie. I thought it would have been, more of a Lennon
man. I'm still on 2. This is going well.
Next one. Oh, right, anagram.
Okay, I love an anagram.
And I'll give you a little bit of time on this, which I'll edit for people so they have to wait.
Okay.
But ankle, jet, sash is an anagram of which of our previous guests?
Ankle, jet, sash. Oh, man. I can't remember half the people we've done now. Ankle, jet, sash. Why are you laughing so much? Oh, fuck's sake. Lesson Jake.
Yes, your favourite. I've edited out the 10 minutes it took you to get to it. Okay, Ringo Starr, previous guest, appeared alongside which other drummer in the 1973 film That'll Be the Day?
Oh man. Charlie Watts.
It's Keith Moon.
Oh, is it actually someone on Matt, I thought you were asking.
Gonna throw in the odd curveball, mate. After meeting in the early 70s, Aretha Franklin became an honorary aunt to which of our previous guests?
Nina Simone?
No, think about it. Not? 70s honorary aunt.
70s honorary aunt.
You've got three already, so you're past your goal. Anyway.
That's all right then. 70s honorary aunt. Oh, it's not Britney, is it? No.
No.
I don't know.
Whitney.
Ah.
Okay, quote. I am my own sanctuary and I can be reborn as many times as I choose throughout my life.
George Harrison.
It's Lady Gaga. Right, last chance, right?
I thought this was going to be an easy quiz.
Which band was formed on the night the two of its founding members attended a Sex Pistols concert in Manchester?
Joy Division.
Yes, well done. You were four and you were going for three.
I was going for three. Job done.
What is it? Should we get, for people, have a go at home?
Yeah.
Because I want to know, people like QE, they listen all the time, don't they? Harry, all of you lot. Mm. It's a test of knowledge as much as test of remembrance as much as a test of knowledge. So
if you get five or more, you can have my role.
Okay, so that was the quiz. The main thing is, mate, you set yourself a goal. And you surpassed it.
Well done.
We'll never come back to that again.
No, please.
But it is the time for us to drop anchor. I believe we are on chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And you've asked me to guess when you wrote this, so I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, just see if you can work out what I might have been doing.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah. Let's see. Okay, chapter 14. I feel the weight of the bag on my shoulders. Why am I back here again? Why do I continue to have to relive this specific moment of my life? What have I missed? I walk past the derelict shops, hearing the hustle and bustle of kick-out time, not making eye contact with anyone. And the hill, that hill. I can see the spire at the top, can feel it calling me back to that moment when things changed. He said he'd look after me, keep me safe. How was I supposed to know it would lead to years of abuse? The one person I felt I could trust. I was told I could trust. I open the bag. There's the mask, the lighter fuel, the matches. Can I do this again? Is this really what I want to do? I need to break away, but the pull of the matches, the memories of the fire continue to pull me back in. I feel the mask tight on me, the red lips and green hair flowing down onto my shoulders. Do people know my story? Do they see all of my history? How I became like this? How I was led astray by others? I'm outside the house. Three knocks. No response. Three knocks again. No response. I ring the bell. Curtains twitch. See the hood, the mask. A scream. A cry. I'll pay you the money. He's just using you. You can break free from this. I'm done playing. I pour the petrol I've been carrying. Sprinkle it with lighter fluid. And throw the matches. The house starts quicker than I thought. I can hear the screams. I pause, look around, smile, and step into the fire.
Boom, 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 boom. Was you watching Little House on the Prairie?
I was. How did you know? On our next voyage.
Sounded more like Smeagol.
I did.
Was it Gollum?
My precious.
They had the same one, didn't they?
They had the same one, but anyway, let's see where we go.
Yeah, that's a really good, we've had a bit of fun. and read today with that. A character we both love and admire, but I think it does tell you a lot about society as well. So if you haven't watched the latest Joker film, or you haven't dived back into Dark Knight for a while, even like the old Batmans, you know, it's good to get a rounded view of it. Get yourself The Killing Joke. But I hope you enjoyed. Play along with the quiz at home. Let us know how you got along as well. And the story is ramping up. And we were just talking about ways to end it. We might go on a little bit long. There's undisclosed amount of time, isn't it?
Yeah.
If anyone's got a title for our story, by the way,
let us know. There's still a medium t-shirt as well around, so you know, if we like it,
you can
get it. Yeah.
We're on to our next voyage now, as you've just lovely introduced us, Smeagol or Gollum. And I think I'm going to hand the floor to you, because you're about to embark on your 4x4x48 challenge.
I am.
How are you feeling? Yeah, you know, what are your thoughts ahead of it? You know, just talk to people about, you know, why you're doing it.
Nervously excited, I think, doing the prep. You know, a big shout out to Joe, who's helped me with the prep and getting everything right. So obviously I start tomorrow, 8 p.m. And I think the music's going to help. Music's going to get me through. But yeah, the reasons I'm doing it. So I'm doing it for the foundation I work for, Jacob Abraham Foundation. Obviously, we've talked a lot about suicide, you know, and it's my role is as a therapist to support people who are finding it tricky and maybe having thoughts of suicide. But also I work, you know, predominantly my main area is around supporting those who are bereaved through suicide. So supporting survivors, shall we say, of suicide. So families, partners, friends, that sort of area as well. I'm quite lucky that, you know, the money being raised, I know where it's going. It's not just going into a big pot. I have also, hopefully, I'll have sign off tomorrow that I can decide to use the money to build, to get specific therapeutic equipment as well.
Brilliant.
So I can tell everyone where the money's gone to. So maybe some sensory stuff. I'm thinking sparring gloves, you know, to help bring out elements of anger where people are feeling uncomfortable and releasing it. Weighted blankets, so a variety of different things. So it's going to be a test. It's going to be a challenge. And obviously, you know, I need to set you a challenge whilst this is happening. So I would challenge you to actually do it all with me. But unfortunately, you've decided to run away to Bradford and not, you know, and only be around to help me with one run. So...
Which I am helping you with one run.
You are helping me with one run. You are helping me with one run. So my challenge to you is, you know, we all know you're a DJ, DJ Cook, DJ whatever. Do me a playlist for one of my runs, one of my 4 miles. Make me a playlist. And put that, some bangers on there.
That's in my sweet spot, mate, and you know it. So I'll get the playlist to get you through, no problem. And I'm looking forward to joining you on the kicking it all off as well before I go. And should say, didn't say I was going to say this, but proud of you as well.
Thank
you. Even to take something like this on is a big deal. So I'd be interested to hear your vocal diary or your voice note diary off the back of it. You'll probably be saying some weird crap at 4 in the morning.
Definitely. But also, I mean, I'll be posting it on social media.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm alive and awake, I'll try and link it in to our Instagram.
Brilliant.
So yeah, get on our Instagram as well, at Captain and Cook Pod.
It is.
There we go.
God, without even any prep.
Awesome. Well done, it's in front of me. So
my challenge for you, Bryn, I've been thinking about this because you haven't got much on this week, is to run 4 miles every four hours for 48 hours. Can you?
Ah, tidy.
Links.
Yeah, I might try to do it twice. Let's go. Let's go for it.
Go now.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Charlotte. She is going to have to put up with me like this, but. You know, I will remember one of the first things she said to me, and she said, "Oh, if you run one more set, you would have done 2 marathons." So, thanks for that.
Just to make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. So that's another one done. Before I go in. Pile myself high with sugar, caffeine and everything. Just some feedback we've received from different people. And I know one thing, obviously, I had a chat with Kiwi about the Prodigy, one of his favourite bands. He spoke about seeing them 5 times, but he's also he's not sure whether he wants to go again.
Yeah.
Simply because he said he doesn't know whether it'll be the same. Obviously, it will be a different experience, so I don't know what he's going to do. But yeah, it was just nice having a chat with someone who's seen them in the flesh, shall we say, and actually seen them live. Yeah.
I think that's going to be the challenge for the Prodigy, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And no doubt the music will be great because Liam's the producer and he makes good music. But for fans, it's hard to get over when one of the big characters goes, isn't it? But we'll see. I'm sure they'll rise to it. Talking of music while we're on it, Lee Scratch Perry passed away this week. Not everyone will know who that is, but if you know your reggae and your dub reggae specifically, you'll definitely know who he is. And I was just watching the outpouring again of sadness, I suppose, of him going. And again, one of the reasons I got into reggae, my uncle gave me tapes with him on, alongside Bob Marley and others. But Bob Marley and Lee Scratch Perry were probably two of my gateways into reggae music. Mm. And you know, like dubstep when that came around and that kind of stuff, and even like drum and bass and stuff, a lot of it's informed by that early dub reggae, and it all goes back to him. So again, that's a big loss in the music world. I want to give a shout out as well to Tom Meyer. You're doing a challenge, aren't you? Tom Meyer's currently in the middle of a challenge. He was our previous guest, if people remember, back in season two. Season two or one? It all molds into one for me now. I think it was season two. Again, go back to that episode. It's a great one. Very open and honest discussion about his home struggles with mental health. I asked him why he was doing this specific running challenge, and I'll read the message he sent me. So with everything that's happening in Afghanistan right now, I felt helpless in what I could do to help. That's when I decided to get off my arse and do the British Red Cross's Miles for Refugees, where you run a distance based on a refugee's journey in September. I'm running 106 miles, which is the distance from Cali to London. I haven't ran in about 5 years, so this is a huge challenge for me. And just doing 4.5 miles for my first run was painful, but it's all for such a worthy cause. I've already raised £125, and the support from people will keep me going. And that's just everyday heroes, mate, isn't it? You know, what normal people stand up for something they see is not wrong. We do send out strength to people there as well, because what's going on is chaotic and has been for a long time. But I just thought good on Tom for thinking that, you know, something's happening and I'm gonna try and do something about it, much like yourself as well.
Good on him. I'm just getting it in. So I think I've just found his link. I have, yep. So I'll put my link's in there, his link's in there. If people have any money they can spare, just to give us a little nudge, you know, that would be fab. But also just share it, just to raise the cause. You know, we're both running for great causes, you know, and I think, yeah, all the best, Tom.
Yeah, well done, Tom. And obviously keep your feedback coming. Again, especially on today, different one for what we're used to. We'd love to hear your feedback on here. You can do it on Instagram, as the captain said, at Captain Cook Pod. You can use Twitter at Captain and Cook 1, or email us at Captain and Cook Pod, that's and at gmail.com. But until the next one, whatever we decide to do, it's a ta-ra from me.
And it's ta-ra from him.